also of a real presence of the rank and file together, that we know each other, that we know we're not alone, that we support each other in our work. It's a matter of gaining solidarity, of being able to combat the transnationals, of being able to pressure the governments of the United States, of Colombia, to respect labor rights of everyone, and particularly of the port workers. The final question was whether John Jairo had anything else he would like to share.
Bueno, lo que quisiera compartir con ellos es agradecerles pues tanto a Acción Permanente por la Paz, en cabeza de compañeros que el compañero New World, y también al medio de comunicación que nos está brindando este espacio para nosotros poder difundir la problemática no solamente laboral, sino de una aventura. Y pues esperando que no solamente esta sea la primera o la segunda vez prácticamente, porque esta sería prácticamente la segunda vez en la que nosotros a través de los medios de comunicación de esta emisora de Estados Unidos podamos dar a conocer la problemática, y que ojalá para la próxima no sea ya tema de problemática, sino que sea un tema de solución que ya tenemos nosotros dando a conocer de que han mejorado las condiciones de los trabajadores acá en Colombia.
John Jairo thanked us and said that he hopes this is not the first or the second time that we will discuss labor conditions and social conditions in Buenaventura and in Colombia. We will continue to build solidarity in the future. We will continue to stand together. Thank you for listening. This is John Walsh, your host tonight on Labor Radio.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening, this is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Uhuru Sasa is an African-American culture club at the Oregon State Penitentiary. In October, they held their poetry share. The theme was love and redemption. Tonight, you'll hear my interviews with the prisoners and their performances. But first, I spoke with the poetry share's MC and creative director, Sterling Cuneo.
This year, we've required memorization so that people are committed to their pieces and spending a little time with it. We've required pretty much a positive message. You know, we're obviously in prison, so we've had ups and downs, and all our stories ain't inspirational or even honorable, but at the same time, we do work for redemption, and we do try to better ourselves. And out of them efforts and out of those struggles, a lot of art occurs. And so we wanted to have that theme, and it's like, if we really talking about trying to make some of the changes that we talking about, and we want to see these radical differences that so many people are talking about, we have to believe in ideas of love, and we have to believe in ideas of redemption. So
that is the theme this year, love and redemption.
For sure, for sure.
And what does that mean for you?
Redemption is what I hope for in my life, and it's what I aspire towards. I have a lot of shameful and a lot of harmful acts in my past, and I would have never even came around to thinking about appreciating life and trying to do better if it wouldn't have been for the few people that loved me and supported me when the rest of the world just discarded my humanity.
And where does the love come in?
The love is in everything, man. The love is in everything. You know, love of my family, love of my friends, love of people that want to see good for you, love of people, love of life, love of hope, you know, because, I mean, there was a point in my life when I was real hopeless. And I found a little bit of hope, and I found a little bit of hope, and I found a little bit more hope. And I find that when you start to try to move towards better things in your life, there's people along the way that's willing to help you, you know, because they have a love that they're willing to share. It ain't always easy. It definitely ain't always easy loving me, but they do it anyway. So it's something that I value, and it's one of the few things that I have in my life. So I celebrate it.
Have you ever had a love that you really cared about? Have you ever had a dream that won't come true? Seems the heavens don't hear me calling. Have you ever had a love, a love, a love, a love, a love?
This was the first performance for So Kosol. He spoke about his favorite poets and the inspiration for his poetry.
Well, Hafiz, E.E. Cummings, Walt Whitman, Edgar Allan Poe. I like a lot of classical.
What was your inspiration for your poetry today?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the way we view the world. It's just a different way of seeing things. For me, poetry is a reflection. For instance, English is my second language, and I didn't graduate high school, and so I got my GED in prison. I hated writing when I was a kid, but now I love words, the way they, you can put words together and create feelings, metaphors and things like that. So nothing in particular, it's just about love, and I feel a certain way and I just put it down on paper.
What is that feeling for you?
Free? Freedom. It's a form of venting for a lot of guys. I just feel like if you read some of the poems from way back and you can like put yourself in their shoes, so it doesn't matter how old the poem or where it comes from, you know, whether it's from like Hafiz and or you have Khalil Gibran, which is everyone's from a different continent, but we still speak the same language. I am a revolver hard pressed against the temple, spilling sinister thoughts all over the shrine. It's like dirty thoughts in a clean mind, and a heap of feral fantasies create tension that needs ejaculation. It's like a criminal breaking into my head, and my head becomes the penitentiary. When will my mind demolish the construction of prisons? Who I am without you is the burial plot for the body of an unwanted bomber. I know. I should learn to pray for modesty and meditate to calm the layers of palpitations. There is a calm I do not know through anyone else. But how do I find you? Through the maze of forests, through the canopy of trees, I've argued against the ocean. I've tried talking to walls and to myself. I know I'm never going to be normal. When will my mind divest the condom of solitary confinement? I am at a loss for language, searching for metaphor. If I could just hold you and not say a word, I would hold you in a quiet reservoir. If I could just find the right metaphor or metamorphose into a sponge to soak up the tiny body of water, I would cry and bleed and vomit because I don't know the things to say to soothe the aquatic world of your belly. My deepest me listens for things other people don't hear. But more than the cacophonous conversation, I crave the pleasure of feeling myself. I need you to keep me sensitive.
And I'm here with Paul. Paul, you are one of the performers. Paul Grice.
I'm performing a simple poem I wrote while still incarcerated. It's something that I enjoy doing to pass time and to release stress. So it's just something that helped me. Hopefully I help somebody else. So I have a strong relationship with God right now, and placing the current environment, I kind of put them both together. So it's called Baptizing Concrete. And that's pretty much what it's about, my experience and my growths and my struggles. Yeah, I write poetry. I'm not going to say a lot just to write it, but I write it when something's actually on my heart or on my mind. I've been writing a lot since I've been incarcerated, but it's something I really do enjoy. And I think it's something that helps express myself more so than just talking or drawing a picture. It's just a different aspect of life that I think will help everybody, to be honest.
By the name of Baptizing Concrete, most people would tell you that you're a product of your environment. So placing this concrete jungle spotlights not only my strengths, but it exposes my weaknesses. So now I'm left with the choice. Either nourish the characteristics that will be the foundation of my success, or entangle my mind with the laws of the lawless. I can't lie to you. At times, my focus has been misplaced, my determination has wavered, and I've not even trusted my own heart. But right now, I can stand before you with atonement in my hand, courage in my chest, and opportunity at my feet. Through this baptism, I've learned lessons more precious than gold and obtained gratitude deeper than any ocean. I'm reborn. I'm redefined. This is my testimony. I'm baptized in concrete.
Takuma Jackson has been incarcerated for 15 years. As a history buff, he hopes to introduce our youth to history through his poetry and spoken word.
I study a lot of poets, you know, some prolific ones. And yeah, Mimi Baraka was one of my inspirations in writing this poem. It had to do with a lot of what I went through and what my ancestors went through, and you know, from the times of the 60s. And I wanted to resonate with some of the youth here instead of it being lost. So I felt the only way to speak to them is by introducing them to the knowledge and the history through spoken word and poem, you know, in order to reach them and help them to remember those that they either have heard about or have never heard of at all. I was my own worst enemy. I knew right from wrong. You know, there was a lot of things that could have diverted me, you know, from being in certain situations. But, well, I have that gene in me that I'll get in the situation, and you know, I was young and I hadn't figured, because the laws didn't apply to me, I feel like I was one of the lawless, you know, that I didn't have to worry about consequences because I'll never get caught. And that was one of my worst downfalls, is really truly believing that as an, would you say, inebriated, under the influence, you know, young guy out there just being reckless.
What would you say to a young black man or woman who is going down that path right now?
And that's something I thought long and hard about what I would say. You know, and I tried to make a one-line statement. I tried to write books. I tried to write paragraphs. And I could never find that statement, because it's like all the statements that were said to me, I tried to say it to them. So what I do now is I take all those things that I've heard from other people and I try to make them relevant, or what they call attractive, to the young woman and young man today. So it's really just a repetitive message, but it's the delivery that I think is what's lost, you know, upon the older and the younger. It's just how to deliver that same exact message that we have been delivered to us in a way that is attractive to them.
I know that some of y'all that know me maybe thought I would come up here and embark upon a journey of words to socially please you. But right here, right now, I refuse to continue to contribute to more black historical amnesia. So I'm not going to come up on the stage and gangsta flex, especially while we're busting out the seams of this prison industrial complex. But I will ask you, walk with me for a moment, and let's explore an ever-growing controversial cultural war, one filled with historical dungeons alliances, social division, cultural degradation, murder, rape, savagery, folklore. I feel spastic, this blaxploitation. Herman Gray said watching our race was like watching the spiritual death of a nation. We bob our heads, snap our fingers, tap our feet to all of this melodramatic sonic mayhem and symphonic ills. Hood anthems become multi-million dollar commercial jingles. But the question is, who's getting paid and who's really getting played? Such a volatile minefield. Organized chaos, organized confusion, all under a cloak of esteem. So I embodied spoken word in hopes of manifesting a dream to bring you visionary narratives, lyrical hieroglyphics, so specific and analytic at times my words may seem prolific. I am the literary luminary for what Bakari Katwana called the golden era of storytellers. So I comes with no hooks, no beats. It is all a cappella. So check my rhythms, my snares, my drums. One mic checker, but protect your neck. So hail the Lotsy, it's the return of the Mecca. I'm the unsigned word cutter, the persona non grata, spitting that language of defiance called Mia Mimi Baraka. Through artistic, journalistic, urban metaphors, an urgent necessity as I kick down these doors. These social media wars. And I'll continue to trek America's landscape while the breast of the horse. Now I'm the radical, proverbial, irresistible force. My existence is the resistance. Plague me a menace. Yeah, I heard they build coffins for ether spitters, but I refuse to lie in it. They call us overeaters, underachievers, said we elicit backlash, mass hysteria, or release the gas. Biologists, sociologists, anthropologists. They say that fiber optic violence pumped through our veins like gorillas. They call us denizens of defiance and labeled us killers. Is that right? My ancestors, our ancestors were demonized to embody fear. And now you want to suppress my fluid desires? But as long as I'm alive, I will continue to spit that fire. And now I'm feared as a knowledge, not for sale or for hire.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. Yuhur Sasa is an African-American culture club by and for prisoners at the Oregon State Penitentiary. I spoke with Yuhur President John L. Smith, who talked about the Yuhur programs and the need for volunteers to bring their expertise into the prison to help the prisoners.
Basically, what Yuhur Sasa is all about is that one of the things we try to do is educate our members and sort of get them prepared for being released. You know, we try to get them to make some changes, some adjustments in their lives. So, you know, we create classes. You know, we do fundraisers to help, you know, some of the needed around this community. We got YouSelf class, and we got the mentorship class. And YouSelf is basically set up to deal with a few guys who are level ones who really needs, you know, some help.
What is level one?
Level one means that you've come inside the prison and you wanted to do things your way, you know, and there's a lot of things in here that you can't do your way. So as a result of that, those guys always end up in trouble, you know, sailed in on restrictions in the hole. So when they come out, they're level ones. You know, they can be level three and go to the hole, and if they stay more than 21 days, when they come out, they got to start all over. So, you know, that's where we're at with the level ones. So we get them a little bit at a time, 5, 6, 7, 8, something like that.
Exactly. How do you help them?
Well, we come up here and have them to get involved in changing the way they think. You know, we try to get them to look at the way they digest their energy and their anger. You know, we try to get them to see themselves, you know, not just to look in the mirror and see yourself, but to look in the mirror and look past, you know, whatever's going on in your life right now. For the most part, you know, they're pretty stressed, you know, level ones.
And how successful are you?
Well, we've had two classes to graduate, you know, and the people that did graduate, we only had two of them, I think, that relapsed, you know, and went back to their old ways. The best thing to do with transition is you have to make preparation. You know, you can't transition to anything if you ain't prepared. So we try to prepare them. You know, we try to give them some type of education. We try to help them with the GED. We got educational classes set up that's going to start here in the next month or so. And, you know, we just try to help them. We just try to take them away from that yard, you know, out there, you know, acting crazy, and try to give them some way they have a little hope.
Do you see changes?
Yes, in some of them. You know, I mean, it's hard to deal with, you know, but we ain't giving up. We're going to keep on trying to get them straightened out as best we can.
I imagine there's a waiting list to get into this program.
And that's part of the overall problem as I see it, is because there is a waiting list and you got so many guys who are level ones, so we can't get everybody, you know, so yes, a waiting list.
People out in the community, outside the prison, how could people help?
Well, we need people who are willing to volunteer to, you know, educators, teachers, you know, people who get involved with self-awareness type classes. We need all of that, you know, and we don't have it here. And a lot of people don't want to come here to do that because they're not getting paid. So we need to be at their mercy in a way. You know, we're reaching out to the community to say that help. You know, we need your help because, you know, the budget situation now ain't no programs. You know, you got a few programs. You got Step Class to Success, and that's probably a 2 weeks class, you know, but how do you take a man that's been locked up 20 years and put him in a class for 2 weeks and give him hope? You know, I mean, there's been a lot of things in terms of programs that we don't have. And like we said, the ones that we do have, they so crowded that it leaves a lot of people out. So you have a lot of people leaving the institution who never gets a chance to go through any of that. We need a lot of help when we get out, you know, because one of the things getting out of prison is all about fear. If you've been locked up 10, 15 years, I've been locked up 11 and a half years. If you've been locked up 10, 15, 20 years, then that fear is there. I don't care who you are, how you try to fake it off, you still have that fear inside of you. And what I see as being one of the things that I want to address as president of Uhuru Club is that fear. And that fear is that if a guy don't have no family, if a guy don't have no one, you know, in the, out in the community that's just supporting him, then the fear is you got the estate in Portland, which is a transitional house, but it's also a drug-infested den. And my problem with that is that we know that. The system know that, but they still put people there. So are we setting them up to fail? I'm real passionate about that, you know, because, like I say, you got to be willing to address the problem before you start expecting people to succeed. And the problem is not being addressed. They leave out of here with no money, no place to go, no clothes. That's scary. That is scary because, you know, you don't know where the tomorrow is going to be.
To volunteer at the Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem, contact OSP Staff Advisor Bill Marion at 503-378-2289. Next, Maurice James did not join a gang. He was born into the gang environment. His poetry reflects his experience.
It's really a rap, and I'm just turning it into spoken word.
So what was the inspiration?
Just my life. Just life and living life and politics and the issues of life, growing up the way I did, and just a poem on a political basis and redemption. As far as the redemption goes, it's not just about me, though. It's about redemption is for everybody. Everybody needs redemption, and redemption is the most valuable thing in the world to me. I mean, I always loved music, so when the opportunity to make music came, I took it. I was trying to make music. I mean, I really, on the streets, I was a rapper, so I love rapping. I love listening to music now. You see, I'm carrying my little music box around on me because I always got to have it. I just love music.
Going to continue this when you release in 5 years?
I mean, I would love to. Why not?
Say your name so all the producers and recording studios out there can know who you are.
Hey, remember me? It's Infamous One Mo' from Gotham, group that dropped in 1998. We was recording a lot of music in 97. It was fun. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget about me because I might get out in 2019 and blow the whole scene up.
Today, we on this political tip with spiritual and critical mixed in it and gangster displays from criminals. Yeah, I admit it. I ain't ashamed of the places from which I came, the neighborhood I claim, and gangbanging, even slinging cocaine. All for the fortune, but it was scorching, hot as a flame, and they got it distorted on the news when they reported. So I'ma give it to you uncut and raw, and it's all still going, but see it and never saying what you saw. Talk to the law, all y'all taking the fall. Sooner or later, major league players and all. Cause the situation gotta be addressed for sure. Get in touch with them people. He got to go. I put the work in and I paid dues. What is the reason for the treason? When the body missing, leaving his shoes. Crips and Bloods and black gangs the same. Cause my inner city vision is images clear from NY to the Bay. With what I say, no imitations. With what I display, my demonstrations, I'm authentic. I'm living. I'm genuine, given the truth, suspended in it, considering my birth and my youth. Because it was hard in the hood. We was approaching life as a target. We would have departed if we could, right from the start, because we was brokenhearted and feeling defeated. It was heated and hot, and it was steaming from the way we could treat it, but society don't want to see it. But believe it, because out in the open, they be provoking, pointing fingers and poking. It ain't a joke. But we hoping, praying, and we wishing, saying behold to the system, with a signed petition circulated people in prison. So pay attention, politicians, all positions, parties, and all sides, officials, influential decisions, because my community is overwhelmed. Our community overwhelmed, Somebody got to blow the whistle, sing the songs, and ring the bells, because they say, time to tell, do rhymes and lines hail, and find signs designed to shine lights, prevail, because my rights is real, and it might reveal if it's shown and exposed for the social tone that's set by sending us home, because it ain't nothing worth more than redemption. Human beings be doing things they embarrassed to mention, but God see them. So we got to stay down and humble and praise the Lord God, because he made the way now from the south to the north. So doing the job is how we should be, could be, and would be, if you was true to God's conviction and accepted seriously. Since y'all up in here with me, I'ma just pray in confidence, because Jesus shed his blood to make the way. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins. I know that if I don't humble myself, I won't win. So with every breath I take, I fight to live under pressure from men and my flesh giving in. But if you forgive me, then I know I could change. So I ask for forgiveness and redemption in Jesus' name. And as I repent, Lord, accepting the blame, I was born in the game. But now I'm free from the shame. And let the church say. And let the church say. And let the church say.
I'd like to thank some people who made tonight's show possible. Members of Uhuru Sasa, thank you Jason Hansen and Crystal Archdeacon with the Department of Corrections, and Bill Marion, OSP Staff Advisor. Also thank you to the OSP audio crew, Kenny Fisher, John Alexander, Drew Smith, and Sean Harris. The songs heard tonight were by Rich McLeod, a guest performer. The entire event will be posted on our webpage at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Thank you to our engineers, Danielle and Michael. And now, Sterling Cuneo.
Today, on this stage right here, it doesn't matter if you score a perfect 10. You still don't win, because we all lose. We lose. As long as we are the number one nation of incarceration, we lose. As long as Monsanto mixes chemical toxins into food without warning on the labels, fast fed to kids, we lose. As long as corporations are considered Citizens United in electing policies that place profit over people, and Walmart gets a quarter of every American dollar made selling cheap products made by economic third world slaves and sold by part-time employees denied Medicaid, we lose. As long as mad men claim that climate change is a fiction of left brains and there's no better way than bombs away to resolve conflict peacefully, we lose it. Until LGBT communities and marginalized others are mainstream, healthcare is free, and little kids don't commit suicide to escape bullies, we lose it. As long as we victimize community with criminality, we lose it. Our kids are losing. Losing fathers, brothers, uncles, grandpa, family, we losing. As long as crack economies are the most lucrative opportunities for disenfranchised felons in the house I live in, we lose. As long as we wreck ecosystems by crashing trains that drain petrol streams into water trickles, and cities use more cars than bicycles, we losing. As long as the earth is cracking from oil fracking, CIA practice tracking with drones over civilian homes, we losing. As long as the police still squeeze when we scream, hands up, don't shoot, we losing. As long as we sentence kids to die as old men in penitentiary, 8x10s, condemned to life with no hope for parole or redemption, I'm losing. I'm losing. We lose. We lose. Until we win. And when we can. And when we will. We will win when we dare to struggle, dare to win. We will win when we build community based upon love and inclusion. We will win when we are a friend to everybody. We will win when we spend days and nights with a reverence for life. We will win when we achieve redemption and restore our status as nurturer, protector, and provider. We will win when we build as brothers, respect our mothers, be gentle with our sisters, and be honorable men as fathers. We will win when we contribute to humanity and have our legacies pay it forward 7 generations.
I will survive. Don't they say that I'm just a dreamer, just a dreamer. It will not die. Though they say that I'm just a dreamer, just a dreamer.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that you are about to cross the border. And then follow the footsteps to a 2-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound.